Hello, and welcome to the live Retail Online Integration Webinar, The Role of Mobile in Your Brand's Omnichannel Strategy, sponsored by Bazaar Voice, a company that helps brands capture, analyze, and act upon social data to drive true customer-centric change. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me take this opportunity to point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets at the bottom of this console. And lastly, your console is interactive. Click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss the role of mobile in today's omnichannel retail environment, including its impact on brands' marketing strategies, are Paul Burney, the Managing Partner and CEO of M. Cordis, a global mobile marketing advisory and educational services company, and Neville Letzerich, Executive Vice President of Product Marketing at Bazaar Voice, where he leads the company's efforts around market analysis, needs definition, pricing, packaging, and go-to-market readiness. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Paul Burney to get us started.
Thank you, Joe, and hello, everybody. This presentation will be both Neville and myself going kind of side by side. You'll find it easy to know which one of us is talking at one stage, as you can already hear. I'm the English guy, and he's the American. So thanks, Joe, for the opportunity to speak to everyone today. It's a pleasure to be here. I've had the opportunity over the last 10 years to work with a huge number of brands and agencies and technology companies across the world on mobile marketing. And I can tell you that while mobile is similar but different across the whole of the world, there are a few things that are consistently the same. One of those is that I often find that brands believe that the big driver for mobile marketing is somehow technology related. It's related to the changes in handsets and the functionality and just the sheer pace of what we can do with technology these days. But I can tell you that what I see consistently is that the big driver of mobile marketing is the way in which it's changed our behavior. I believe that mobile has both caused and enabled an irrevocable change in consumer behavior. And that is the big driver of why you should be looking at mobile having a stronger role in everything that you're doing with your customers. I believe that what we're seeing is that through mobile, we're creating customers with a new set of expectations. Those customers are looking for a whole range of things which they know they can deliver via mobile. And what I find is that quite often, you know, many marketers still try and separate themselves from the market and somehow think that their experience is different from those of their customers, and in fact, you know, that people are different at home than they are in, when they're shopping in a mall or working in the office. I'd argue with you that we're a product of all of our experiences, and in fact, everything that we do via our mobile devices informs our experiences and makes us think differently. So every time that you're able to do something via your mobile device raises your expectations that you'll be able to do more and more, and that you'll be able to connect, engage in real time, and participate with brands and retailers through any channel you choose, and mobile will be no exception to that. Mobile helps us reach and connect with consumers and helps them when they're in perhaps 8 or 9 different need states. We're used to our mobile devices meeting all of these need states at any stage, and our marketing therefore has to reflect this. For us at M. Cordis, mobile marketing, therefore, is about connecting, engaging, and influencing customers with and through mobile. And I emphasize the with and the through because we tend to talk about mobile as being something, as being both the device and the channel simultaneously, and we interchange between those two different things. So because it's changed our behavior, what we see is that mobile is creating a completely new engagement dynamic for retailers and for brands in general. Across the world, what we're seeing are three big trends. We're seeing, first of all, that brands are becoming platforms that are led by their content and engagement delivered via mobile. The second thing is that more and more brands are building a direct two-way relationship with their consumers, and in some instances, disintermediating or cutting out the retailer. And third is that mobile acts as a bridge between both the physical and the digital worlds. And I hope that through the examples that we're going to show you now, you're going to see all three of these things are true. We started by saying that this webinar was going to be about omnichannel, but I tend to split omnichannel and multichannel into being two different things. For us, omnichannel is this consumer experience and multichannel is your way of executing against it. Because as consumers, our expectations have been built over time that we should be able to connect and engage through any channel at any time, anywhere. For a consumer, there is an expectation that every brand has an omnichannel presence. And the challenge for marketers is, of course, how do you meet that? How do you have a multi-channel strategy that allows customers to connect with you at any stage? And it's not just any channel. What mobile is doing is affecting every single stage of the path to purchase. It's affecting every single point in that path to purchase. And in fact, Nielsen research shows us right now that across the U.S., almost 20% of all sales in retail outlets are in some way influenced by mobile.
So thanks, Paul. I think, you know, from a Bazaar Voice perspective, a lot of what we're seeing is that 19% of mobile being influenced is largely being driven because more and more people are relying exclusively on mobile for their pre-purchase research. So oftentimes people are really digging in and making that their research mechanism. And mobile devices aren't around just for research, though. People are quickly warming up to buying via mobile as well. So the number of people who buy via mobile is going to increase 65% between now and 2016. In Europe, Forrester predicts that mobile e-commerce revenues are going to rise from what was about €1.7 billion euros in 2011 to over €19 billion by 2017. So some pretty dramatic changes. And if we jump to the next slide, we'll talk a little bit about why. Holiday shopping is converting the way that people shop and creating new mobile shoppers for life. So as we look across our entire Bazaar Voice network, and this is thousands of brands and thousands of retailers, in December we typically see a spike in mobile traffic. Well, shoppers who experiment with mobile during the holidays tend to convert to ongoing mobile shoppers afterwards. So our mobile traffic isn't returning to pre-holiday levels. So for example, Black Friday weekend of 2013, and this is the really heavy shopping weekend following the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., and we saw really high growth in mobile use. Mobile traffic grew 61% year over year, and mobile sales reached almost 26% of total online sales for the whole Thanksgiving period. Now, an interesting part, though, while smartphones drove more traffic than tablets, tablets drove a higher percentage of sales in and of themselves. So kind of the key to this, we all feel like we just got through holiday, the next one's coming really quickly. So be thinking now around the kinds of tactics and techniques you want to use in the upcoming holiday season to grab those shoppers. As we look at this next slide, it's important to think about who your customers are and how they're using mobile. So globally, clothing and footwear are the most researched non-digital products on mobile, with 32% of it coming, the mobile shoppers having browsed in these categories. Health and beauty is at 23%, consumer electronics at 21%. Toys and games isn't shown here, but it's at 17%, so it's not far behind. Apparel is also the most purchased category via mobile, and so that's where the highest spend is. Now, the key technique is consider the nature of your products. Are mobile shoppers more likely to purchase in your category, or are they simply researching? For categories where there's a higher likelihood of mobile purchase, use things like 360-degree enlarged images on mobile to make items like clothes and accessory easier to evaluate so they don't have to come into the store. In less mobile purchase categories like travel, use the mobile app or site to encourage shoppers to continue shopping on your website later on. So allow them to save products, destinations, flights, things like that, to a list that will sync with their account online so they can easily find them later on the PC. So really try to understand your consumer, where they are, how they shop, what they're looking for, and then prepare to meet them at that moment of truth.
Yeah, that's a good point, because actually I think that what mobile is doing is being present at every single moment of truth. I think for a lot of us, kind of maybe slightly older marketers, you know, we grew up with the view that there were two moments of truth. There was the moment when the shopper was in the aisle and the moment when the shopper first used the product and took it out of its packaging. And then, of course, with search, we had a zero moment of truth, as Google liked to call it. But actually, I think in throughout the entire shopping experience, there are multiple moments of truth now. And of course, we are in a position now where there's no longer a linear path to purchase. And people enter the path to purchase at multiple different points and exit and come back in again at different points. What we're looking at with mobile, though, is a way of guiding customers through the entire path to purchase. We call this directed shopping. It's the use of mobile to help guide them through each shopper through their own individual chosen path to purchase. So what I'd like to do is kind of run you through some examples of where I see that happening. Starting right, having said that it's not linear, I am going to start go through a path to purchase in a kind of linear fashion. Starting with the process of how do we get people to go into store? If we take the step before this has been search, which Neville just talked about, then there are ways in which mobile is both being used to complement existing means of getting people into store and ways in which mobile is creating completely new ones. In the kind of complementary world, mobile couponing is becoming particularly successful now when people have figured out how to use it properly. I think there was an early dawn of mobile couponing, which was about just sending people barcodes or alphanumeric codes, but really not recognizing the context of where people are receiving these coupons and making the coupon work for the environment and the context in which people are using it. This is a great example from a hardware store in the U.S. I know, having worked on you know, couponing campaigns throughout my career, paper couponing campaigns, that we'd be lucky if we got a 2 or 3% redemption rate for coupons. Right now, the campaigns being run by Pete's Ace Hardware are running at somewhere around 51, 52% redemption rate because they've figured out the way in which to make mobile coupons work.
And I think, Paul, following up on that, so many people will see a screen like the last one we were just showing and look and think, oh, my gosh, how do I even approach all the different mobile devices, all the different tablets, the different screen sizes? Because one size doesn't fit all when it comes to mobile. And so many websites format really poorly on smartphones. They've got small text, images, tiny menus that are impossible to navigate with your thumbs, checkout experiences that are really designed more for the desktops, and they just don't translate down to the mobile users. And this is really bad for business. 65% of shoppers prefer mobile sites to apps. And basically, there's a lot of app fatigue out there. People don't want to have to download an app for every brand or every retailer they're interacting with, and a lot of them prefer mobile sites. But the frustration with those sites can actually drive shoppers away, sometimes for good. So with the multitude of smartphones and tablet screen sizes, it's impossible to design for every one of them, and choosing to just design for some of them isn't necessarily the best way to go. And that's really where responsive design comes in. So often people say, what is that? Well, it's a set of design techniques that you use to allow both technology and then what you put onto the screen to resize the websites to fit the screen, making the site display properly. Now, a lot of times people will stop there with the technology and say, well, everything, resized. But you also have to design responsively, and that's to use large buttons. You've got to really simplify your content. And you've got to choose scrolling over pagination, so some really key elements, as well as scaling the important information. And so this things like reviews and images, really making sure your star ratings and links to full reviews are clear and easy to find. And then one of the worst things that people are using in mobile sites is pop-ups. there's nothing worse than someone clicking on a photo for a larger image, having that have a pop-up over the top that's really difficult to close. It just really messes up the experience. So thinking through not only the technology to design responsibly, but also the content and the way you're laying it out is a really important piece. To take it a step further, it's not just what you're seeing on the screen, but if we jump to the next slide, one of the other key aspects is any time that someone is engaging with email, it's a really important aspect to get those right. So marketing emails and oftentimes review submission forms are still largely designed for laptop and desktop use. But we're seeing 40% of email being opened on mobile devices, and 32% of the reviews that are coming into the Bizarre Voice network are being submitted via mobile. That's a huge number, and that's a very, very big change. So if you look at that, if you optimize the experience there, there's a ton of upside. In one of our tests with a client named Buckle, our designers reformatted the retailer's review request emails and the submission pages that the readers reached after clicking on the link in the emails. And this was just done to make things very easy using simple designs to ensure that the pages appeared correctly on any screen. The result, 146% increase in review submissions. Now, I know there have got to be people on this webinar who want 146% increase in their review submissions. The mobile-friendly responsive templates outperformed all the classic desktop-based templates in every way, a 30% open rate on the emails and an 11.5% click-through rate. So taking the effort to do this really brings those responsive elements to get people to engage through the mobile devices effectively.
So mobile has some great ways of if you like, extending and enhancing the current channels that we're using. But it also has ways of introducing completely new ways of driving people into store. This I love from Starbucks. I know many of you will have seen it, is that they're now allowing people to tweet a coffee to somebody else. I mean, this is great for a number of reasons. One is they're using a completely new channel to drive footfall into store. Two is they're getting one person to buy a coffee for somebody else. You know, and Starbucks apparently has almost $1 billion in prepaid cash on cards and apps that we've given them for coffees we have yet to buy. So they have an amazing business just running on that. But I also love the fact that in order to get this, of course, you have to engage with Starbucks in social media, in this case Twitter. And so the process of you buying a coffee for somebody else that gets them into store also gives them increased presence in social media and gives them new social media contacts who they can reach out to. So it's a completely different way of doing things. Another one of the big concerns that retailers have is, of course, is this concept of showrooming where people are taking their mobile phones into stores and then looking up prices and reviews of different products and services live in the store. And in fact, many of us will have experienced the whole process or thought of abandoning a purchase because of something we've managed to find out in store. But actually, for the brands that have figured this out and the retailers that have figured this out, rather than try and fight against showrooming, which I think is probably a losing battle, those who are taking on board the idea that mobile will come into their stores and embracing it are actually getting much better results.
And, Paul, we're seeing the same thing. Mobile shoppers are actually more likely to purchase in-store. Showrooming, everybody's heard about it, but it's almost this great thing that never really came to fruition. Does it happen to a degree? Of course. But there's not nearly to the degree that everyone is thinking. Shoppers are certainly using their mobile devices in store. So 84% of smartphone owners admit to using their phones in the store. They're checking reviews, they're looking for products at other locations, and yes, 61% admit to checking for, you know, competitors' prices. But retailers shouldn't dread these price checks. In fact, new research finds they may actually drive in-store purchases. So more than half of mobile shoppers are more likely to purchase a product in-store when their mobile device helps them find online reviews, information, or trusted advice. They get that information they need as they're standing right there by the product. In fact, 77% of smartphone-driven purchases happen in stores. So it's not necessarily happening on the phone or later online. It's happening right there. They're just using their phone as an information choice. And so many people are running away from wanting consumers to use their phones in the store instead of actually embracing and taking advantage of it. Now, if we go to the next slide, not everybody's doing this, though. There are a lot of people who actually want information, but they'd rather have the sales staff be enabled with mobile. So these are folks that would rather be able to go up and engage with a salesperson, and that salesperson to leverage a smartphone or a tablet to help them check prices or reviews or stock at other store, rather than using their own device. Now, we see this especially with older and wealthier shoppers. So while they're less likely to check their own smartphones than younger shoppers, they definitely appreciate the assistance from the mobile-equipped sales reps. So as you're thinking about your strategies, make sure you cover off on both sides. Don't just leave the shoppers without any coverage in the store as far as, you know, leaving them alone with their phone and not being able to work with them and talk to them. But at the same time, make sure to empower your staff with mobile so they can be effective as well.
And I think this idea that, you know, people are checking out customer review sites, I think is something that's really important, because actually for a lot of consumers around the world, you know, they've stopped trusting brands. They trust each other and they trust their opinions of their peers more than they trust the brand to tell them the truth. So when you come to the idea of people looking at review sites on their mobile devices, I would argue that what mobile is doing here is amplifying the power of those customer review sites. It's making them a much more powerful tool in the hands of the consumer. There's a Swiss futurologist who we do some work with, who said quite memorably at a conference that we were working with him, the advent of mobile and social together means the end of lying. It's no longer possible to tell a lie about yourself or about your brand or about your customer, about your service, because customers are very easily able to ask each other the truth of what your business is about. But if you take it from a positive perspective and say, if you've got great reviews, if you make it possible for people to check out your product and your service, there can be a fantastic result from that.
Absolutely. One of the things that we've just seen is, like you said, it makes it just really difficult to lie. I mean, the social plus mobile together really puts the right information in the consumer's hands when they're trying to make their decisions. Reviews drive conversion lift and a big conversion lift. One of the big focus areas is making sure those reviews also are authentic in nature. Bizarre Voice focuses very heavily on authenticity and making sure that reviews are real. They're written by real consumers who have really used and taken advantage of the products. And having that authenticity really makes that conversion lift work so that people look and understand, this is real, this is something I can trust. And it can make a change in your business because it will drive conversion lift, and we've seen this proof over and over and over. So as you're building out your apps and thinking about those, make sure to put that valuable information source right there in the hands of the consumers, because they will use it at point of purchase.
So when you look at what they're using it for, apart from just looking at reviews, of course, what we can do is use that mobile technology to help direct people's shopping experience. You know, we can use it to help them with the process of both discovery and recommendation of products. A quick example I've got here is an app that runs in the UK that allows you to scan the barcode on any bottle of wine and tells you something about the wine, where it comes from, and in fact, you know, what kind of foods are best to eat it with. It's kind of enhancing the entire process of shopping by recognizing someone's most likely to have their device with them. This example from Brazil, in fact, you know, from Unilever. Unilever are mobile enabling all of the packaging for the Hellmann's mayonnaise range of products in Brazil, so that you can scan the product with your mobile device of choice, and you can then find out more about the provenance of the product, your dietary information, any allergy information you want to find out about it. And in fact, you can get cooking recipes as well. So they're just recognizing you're going to have the phone with you. What can we do to enhance your shopping experience? So once we've driven you into the store, made for a better experience, what else can we do? Well, we can engage you in some way throughout that process, and we can reward you for that. One of the apps that I really love at the moment that I've seen in the U.S., is Shopkick. Shopkick, many of you will know, rewards people for the act of shopping. So it rewards people just for going to the mall, for going to individual stores, for going down individual aisles, for picking up products and scanning those products with their phone. So if you think back to what I said to you right at the start, mobile is causing and enabling a change in our behavior. In this case, what Shopkick is doing is changing the way in which people behave in shops by giving them some sort of reward for looking at individual products. One, you know, and at the end of this, you know, we get rewards that you can spend on, you know, going up and buying a coffee in Starbucks or somewhere else. One of the challenges I see lots of brands trying to reach with you know, using mobile in throughout the retail processes, somehow people are convinced that they've got to create the next Angry Birds or Flappy Bird, some sort of entertainment. But in fact, my experience has been that in many cases for retailers, utility beats entertainment. And in fact, utility quite often trumps entertainment in the mobile space, because entertainment apps and entertainment sites tend to have a very short life cycle, whereas utility-based ones that are providing their customers with something to use can provide something better. So you're seeing more and more brands and retailers do things like introduce apps that help people navigate around the store, or help them find individual products, or help them find the products that go with something else. So I quite like the idea that when you shop in Best Buy, you can scan the barcodes of every product in the store and find out more information about it, find out which kind of accessories go with individual products. Something I just saw only last month when I was on my last trip to the States working with a big retailer. It is from REI. They're now encouraging their sales staff, as Neville was suggesting earlier on, to really engage with people when they see them trying to you know, use their mobile devices in store. The sales staff are instructed to go and ask the customer, have you already connected to our free Wi-Fi network? And if you haven't done that, let me help you do that. Because, you know, they're recognizing what the people are going to do it anyway. Two, why not make it easier for them? But here's the two parts that I think that I really like about this. First is, of course, if people are logging onto your in-store Wi-Fi network, then you're now in possession of a lot more data about what they're doing, because you can see where they go in the store, you can see which other sites they look at while they're in your store, and what other products they're looking at, whose review sites they're checking out, those kind of things. But I think it also, that process of getting the sales staff empowered via mobile or helping the consumers with mobile, I think also changes the dynamic. It moves it away from a face-to-face conversation to a side-by-side conversation with both the customer and the sales staff looking at a mobile device together. Changing that physical dynamic in store may well be one of the ways in which mobile can help us.
And so the last Yeah. I wanted to jump in on that, Paul. Just, you know, as you were talking about what's going on at REI and some really exciting stuff there, and, you know, people joining in on the Wi-Fi, there's so much chatter these days about beacons. You've got NFC, which some people will say just hasn't gotten there from a maturity perspective. Some people are using it heavily and enjoying it. You've got Wi-Fi. Those three kind of tend to be a lot of people talking about them, and especially in an in-store presence. How do I really bring that omni-channel experience where what's happening online can come into my store, and then I can take that back into my online information and data? As you're looking at beacons and NFC and Wi-Fi, what are you guys seeing around how people are using it? What should somebody be thinking about those things if they're hearing about it each day?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, and actually it's a question that we're asked quite a lot by retailers, which is, you know, which one of the three shall I bet on, or is there something else around the corner? I don't think there's a clear winner yet, and as I said right at the start, you know, mobile around the world is similar but different, but, you know, different technologies are going to work in different environments because of, you know, just partly on a national basis, they work for different cultural, social, economic reasons. But, you know, while Wi-Fi may work for a store the size of REI, perhaps, or a Lowe's or a Home Depot, for a much smaller store, it may be that beacons are more relevant. There are still, you know, we've got to take into consideration, there will still, for some of these technologies like beacons, there's another step that people have to take. They have to have Bluetooth turned on for and the app installed in order for you to be able to send them an individual message. Now, it's a fantastic idea that if you're walking into a store that we can send you an individual message. And I think that one of the things that mobile does incredibly well is it deals with one of the, if not the biggest problem of customer loyalty schemes. In customer loyalty, the challenge is that you don't know somebody's in the store until they leave the store and they swipe their loyalty card at the till. With mobile and then the mobile app installed, you know when one of your loyal customers has entered the store at the start of that purchase journey. And so you have a chance to influence them there, perhaps using one of these in-store technologies. You know, so we're sending them either a message over Wi-Fi, or we're sending them a message through beacons. And it may be that, you know, we at some stage we start to encourage people to get used to the whole idea of paying via one of these technologies, or indeed NFC, which I suspect has a big chance of winning once people get used to the idea of tap and go. You know, the long-winded answer, Neville, but the answer to your question is there's no clear winner yet, and it will depend upon, you know, a whole range of factors, not least of which is the physical size of your store and what mobility means to your individual consumers.
You know, and I think, Paul, like you said, we haven't seen a clear winner yet. I think it's very exciting times to get to see some of these technologies coming down into the store. We've actually done a lot of work with a partner called IQ, and some of our bleeding edge customers have been putting devices down into the store that are screens that are bringing the reviews right down into store. But as you get close to the screen, it picks up your Wi-Fi and starts to personalize the information that you're being shown. And then as you move through the store into other areas, as you get to other kiosks, it now can associate and again show you more personalized information as you're moving around into different departments, and it can see kind of the journey you're taking through the store, and brings a whole new set of data and capabilities, as well as the opportunity to personalize the experience that the consumer is having, but in a non-creepy way. Nobody wants some of that creepy stuff. You want to give consumers the information that they need at the point that they need it. And I think these are just going to be really interesting times to watch how some of these technologies develop. And it's really fun to watch some of the early adopters of these technologies taking advantage of them and seeing some good returns come back from it.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, actually. The challenge here for retailers is to be able to use more of that data, but get the right balance between clever and creepy, if you like, to, you know, use it in an intelligent way, in a way in which, you know, people find acceptable. Subject, you know, for another day and another webinar is perhaps, you know, the state of privacy in a mobile world and how brands can deal with that. But I think, you know, as I said earlier on, you know, for me, these technologies, Wi-Fi, NFC, beacons, these are all options that are part of the directed shopping world that mobile gives us. It doesn't necessarily have to rely on all of those technologies. There are others that are involved. You know, the next example I wanted to talk through with people, you know, comes from Walgreens. I think what Walgreens are doing in terms of customer loyalty and providing utility to people is really clever. I mean, many of you will have already experienced this. You scan the barcode on the side of your prescription, and you can reorder the prescription from your local Walgreens. You'll get a push message to tell you when it's ready to collect in store. You may get a reminder to tell you that that your prescription's coming to an end and you need to reorder. It's just making them very useful, and the evidence from Walgreens seems to be that once people have installed this and get used to using it, they don't go back. And I think that's a common thing with much of what we see in the mobile space. I said right at the start of this webinar that actually, you know, our behavior has been changed, and all of our interactions and all of our engagements via mobile change our future expectations. So if I now know that Walgreens can do this, maybe I start to have an expectation that everybody should be able to do this. Everybody should be able to give me this level of customer service delivered via mobile. And it tends to be that the younger the consumer, the higher and higher my expectations are that you'll be able to do this. And this extends throughout the whole of the path to purchase. So we move on now to thinking about, well, how do we deliver customer service? How do we, you know, how is mobile affecting customer service? Many of you will have seen, you know, over the holidays, Amazon introduced this new version of the Kindle. It's now got this Mayday button, so you press the Mayday button and you get real lifetime video assistance. Those of you living in the New York or the Bay Area can use Google same day delivery, and these kind of things are really ratcheting up customers' expectations of how mobile will be able to change customer service delivery. Now, are we suggesting that everyone's going to have a live video customer service or same day service delivered via mobile, or indeed deliver products via drones? No. But what we are saying is that testing out these technologies to see what works and these ways of integrating mobile, these should be taken as signals of intent from these businesses to say, we are absolutely going to take advantage of what mobile gives us, and we are absolutely going to recognize the way in which it's changing consumer behavior. The important part to think about here is, how are we changing the services that we're delivering, not, you know, the technology that's being used to deliver them? So in fact, we should be looking at the services layered on top of the technology, not focusing on which one of the technologies will win.
So as Paul, along those lines, I want to dig in on that one for a sec, because along those lines, if people are thinking about the services and not the technology, you know, early on we said, wow, people are moving to this. They're starting to change expectations. For those on this call, you know, agencies, brands, retailers, and this, you know, is this something where they've got to go back and do a major change management initiative inside of their company, or is this something they can step forward with so it doesn't feel so overwhelming?
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that you know, somehow, you know, everyone's now got to drop everything they were doing before and you know, switch everything to mobile. I think I used the phrase earlier on, you know, in many instances, the best thing that you can do with mobile right now is to use it to extend and enhance your current businesses, you know. So whether that's you're using it to make your traditional media work harder by you're adding mobile as a call to action, or you're adding mobile to the in-store experience, you know, we're not suggesting that mobile will replace everything, but right now what it can do is make other things work harder and work better. And, you know, and that's a smart way of doing things. You know, maybe I've labored the point a bit, Neville, but I really would like people to consider not getting kind of drawn down the rabbit hole of thinking this is about technology. You know, your starting point in a mobile strategy is not weeding an app. It's thinking about, what does mobility mean to our consumers? What do we know about how our consumers use mobile? I mean, there's some really simple ways that you can do that. A really simple starting point would just be, ask the guys running the IT department, how many people are trying to access our website using a mobile device? And when they do, what are they looking at? If nothing else, that gives you an idea about what consumers are trying to do through mobile. As you rightly said earlier on, a lot of consumers are trying to connect with brands and retailers, you know, via their mobile websites before they go to an app. And so understanding what they're trying to look for would be a really crucial way of knowing what could we do for them.
I totally agree. I think so often people do think it's a technology decision. And yes, technology can enable things, but it really is understanding what that consumer or that customer is trying to do. And you look at what Amazon did by, you know, introducing Amazon Prime and getting people to buy into having things delivered quickly. Well, people got very used to having two-day delivery, and it shifted the you know, their expectations, et cetera. Well, if we take that into mobile, people are going to come to expect certain services, certain capabilities. And I do think it's some of these companies that are looking at it now, working with it now, some of the things you referred to earlier a couple of slides back, that are going to be able to take advantage of that as the consumer's expectations change. They will be the companies that were there not only setting the stage, but the ones that the consumers will look and say, yeah, these people understand me. These are the kinds of experiences that I really want, and this company is giving it to me. So I think it really is important for people to take away. This isn't just implement some technology. You've really got to think about what customers are trying to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for years, people in the mobile industry have been borrowing the phrase from Rupert Murdoch, you know, that the world is divided into digital immigrants and digital natives, you know, and they've talked about the digital native. You know, the digital native is a bit of a blunt description, because in fact, I think there are web-based digital natives, you know, people between 30 and 40 years old, and the under 30s, who I think are mobile-based digital natives. But more than that, I think the under 30s are not just digital natives, they're digital dependents. They're people who give up every other channel rather than give up mobile first. And so you're designing your services and you know, designing your marketing around people who think mobile first, and consumers who think mobile first. And that's, you know, that's both the challenge, but also the size and scale of the opportunity here. You know, it's the opportunity to connect with people in real time via a device that's always with them. You know, when
it's
we
an
look
amazing
at
amazing opportunity.
Yeah, and when we, you know, so when we look at, I kind of hinted at it earlier on, I think one of the big things that mobile is going to be able to bring people is a much better way of delivering customer loyalty. You know, as I said, you know, the challenge with loyalty schemes is until I swipe that little plastic card at the till on my way out, you don't even know I'm in the store. Well, mobile can totally change that. And in fact, I my own personal opinion is there's no future for plastic cards of any sort, whether credit cards or loyalty cards. But the retailers who are already starting to throw away plastic loyalty cards and replace them with mobile are already getting great results. So here's one from the UK. This is called B&Q. This retailer is the UK equivalent of the Home Depot. They're replacing plastic loyalty cards with an app that encourages people, you know, they encourage people in store to download it. Here's what they're getting. They have over 1 million members, and most of the people signing up for their loyalty scheme are now coming via mobile. They're getting a huge increase in the amount of engagement and activity with those consumers, because as you pointed out earlier on, Neville, you know, mobile consumers, far from being less engaged and less likely to purchase, are in fact more engaged and more likely to purchase, despite the fact that you know, you might think that that all they're doing is showrooming. In fact, they're not. And here's the real big ROI for this retailer. If you have their mobile loyalty app installed, on average, you are going to spend $18 more per basket per visit. And if that
That's
doesn't give you
difference.
A very, very clear ROI of why you would switch from plastic cards to a mobile loyalty app, then nothing else is going to persuade you. You know, they're getting more money through the tills because they're able to recognize the moment you walk through the store. They're able to send you a push message that says, hey, Paul, welcome back to the store. Don't forget you have whatever it is, you know, 500 loyalty points. Here's today's offer. And they can individualize the experience for me and what I represent to them as a loyalty customer. They're no longer stuck with using the blunt instrument of, you know, very simple demographic segmentation. They can give me something that's related just to me, because they know not only my demographics but my entire purchase history with them. And to a certain extent, what they can use in the case of mobile is they can use this fantastic USP that mobile has of contextual relevance. Mobile allows us to send the right message to the right person at the right time in the right place. And for this retailer, that is the moment you walk through the store, through the door at the store, that's when we can send you the right message. So I think if you look at all those ways in which mobile is affecting the path of purchase, my guess is that what you're going to see is a converged future. You're going to see every stage of the path to purchase influenced in some way by mobile and delivered in some way by mobile. So we're going to see promotions that get people into the store, engagement in the store, means of taking your payment in the store, delivering your service back to you, and hopefully over time delivering a greater loyalty experience all through mobile. If you want a great example of a brand I think that is really working this out and doing it in a very simple way, it's Starbucks for me. A simple way of you working out your mobile strategy is simply just to look at every stage of your path to purchase, look at every point of contact you currently have with people, every touch point you have, And think about how mobile can be used to either extend or enhance what you're doing at that touch point. Because I think that's what Starbucks are doing. You know, they're getting people to download and put an app on their phone. That app is allows people to pay for stuff. But increasingly, they're now using it as a promotional channel. And they've just switched from sending people paper rewards to, in the last month, to now sending you your rewards directly to your mobile phone so that you can get your free coffee or whatever else it's going to be directly for your mobile. They're a really smart brand to do it. But for everybody looking at putting mobile in as part of their mobile strategy, there's three really simple things, or maybe four. There's three really simple things I'd ask you to keep in mind. The first is, if you're going to do something via the mobile channel, make sure it's relevant in all the ways that that means, both relevance to me as an individual consumer, but also, as Neville touched on earlier on, make sure that it's relevant for the screen size and for the customer, the experience that I'm having, the context in which I'm looking at it. You also touched on, you'll never list this idea that we don't want to be seen as being creepy. So whatever we do with our with this massive information we're now collecting via mobile, we need to be respectful. But most of all, we have to still keep in place. You know, we still have to give people some kind of value exchange. If we want them to engage with us via mobile, we have to give them something back that's delivered via the channel. The last thing I think I'd like to leave, the last message I'd like to leave everyone with is this. You see a lot of businesses now talking about being mobile first, and you might expect that as a mobile consultant, I'd agree with them. Actually, I don't. Mobile is great. It has a huge part to play in the marketing mix, but actually, for all of us, we still need to remain customer-first businesses, not just mobile-first, and we still need to put, you know, our customer at the heart of our marketing. I'd like to think that mobile has a fantastic part to play in every stage of the path to purchase and can be at the heart of our marketing with our consumers. At that point, I'd like to thank everyone for bearing up with me and listening. My business contacts are on there if you wanted to get in contact with me to ask me more detail on anything that I've touched on here today. And if you want to follow me on Twitter or anything else where I post loads and loads of customer success stories, then I'd be very happy to engage with you there. Joe, I'll hand back to you, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to everyone today.
Great. Well, thanks, Paul, and Neville as well. We have some time now for some questions from the audience. Just to remind everyone listening that you can submit your questions to Paul and Neville through the Q&A box on your console. So I'll jump into the questions now. First one here, Paul, this one might be good for you, although you can the attendee says, in South Africa, the consumer frequently knows more about the product than the staff, in-store staff, assisting them. Do you have any ideas on how a company can go about combating that situation?
Well, given that I run a business that works on education and mobile marketing, you'll forgive me for saying that the answer to that is you better educate your staff on what mobile is about. We'd be delighted to help anybody do that. You know, we run globally, and so we'd be very happy to do that. And we're already involved in helping educate some pretty big retailers like the Home Depot and others around the world. But I think, you know, joking aside, it, you know, the starting point has got to be, we need everyone to understand what mobile is about in our businesses, not just the marketing department, but everybody. You know, we need all the senior execs to buy into where it's at, and, you know, everybody who's in the front line of delivering customer services.
So, and I'd like to answer that also. I mean, Candy, one of the things that we have seen in similar situations is a quick fix. And as Paul mentioned, obviously getting your staff trained is going to be critical. But some of the things we've seen is companies that go and basically either bring kiosks or iPads or other devices into the store to display the ratings and reviews about a particular product makes it very, very easy for an associate to say, look, here's what I know about this particular product, but let me open up and show you what other customers or consumers are saying about it right there in the aisle. And that often drives a lot of authenticity, and it shows that you have nothing to hide about the products. And the associates tend to learn very quickly as they're reading about other you know, what consumers are saying, it's just a nice mechanism of closing a gap in the short term. So that's something that you could consider, would just be showing those product ratings and reviews. Bizarrevoice actually has an open source app for that that you can grab, download, and use if you want to.
Okay, great. We have another question here from an attendee in regards to you guys mentioned Beacon in-store to enrich the shopping experience. The attendee wants to know, is that like an internet extender in-store? I guess sort of your thoughts on Beacon in-store for enriching the shopping experience.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is that a technology question about what is Beacon, or more about how it is being used?
That's a good point. It might be more of a technology question about what is Beacon, but maybe you could touch on that for a second, and also sort of the use case of it as well, if you don't mind, Paul.
Sure. Well, Beacon is it relies on the latest version of Bluetooth technology. I'm not a technology guy, and in fact, I've very rarely had an interest in mobile technology. I'm more interested in how you use it. But what it does is it allows you in a very small space to send a message or to interact with a mobile device, so that, for instance, you could have a beacon or lots of beacons in store, and have the messaging on them narrowed down to an individual aisle or even an individual gondola end in a store, so that people only really get the message when they're very, very close to it. And it's a means of sending push messaging to people if they've got an app installed using Bluetooth. You could also, of course, use it to transfer content from the shelf or from the beacon itself onto the mobile device. The usage I've seen of it in store so far has been relatively limited. It's worth taking a look at a company called Swirl, Swirl. They've got some interesting use cases of where they've put beacons into Timberland, amongst other retailers. The other big users of beacons so far have been PayPal. PayPal have started to put beacons in at the point of purchase, so that people can start to use PayPal instead of credit cards to buy products in stores.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with the PayPal team, and one of the things that they really use beacons for is, especially when you get in, you're in New York City, you're in an enclosed building, and your cell phone coverage is minimal in there, and so using those beacons as people, a means of people being able to quickly conduct business or find information quickly, PayPal just brings those right in, and then it basically creates internet access and transaction capability right there in the store, regardless of what people would have gotten through their mobile devices.
Okay, great. We have another question here. Could you, the two of you, kind of go over considerations? I guess this attendee, their brand, maybe is considering building out their mobile presence, and sort of the considerations that they should look into, whether responsive design or an M.dot site. Your guys' thoughts on that question?
Paul, you want to take that one first?
As I said before, the first consideration is not which technology should I adopt, but from my perspective, it's understand something about your consumers. Because almost everything in marketing comes from having some sort of consumer insight to start off with. So a good starting point would be, let me understand something about what mobility means to my consumers and how they're using mobile, what mobile devices they've got, and see if they're if there's some kind of insight there that says mobile could be part of the solution to what we want to do. The second thing, which I mentioned earlier on, is to just look at your existing path to purchase and all the touch points you've got there, and see how mobile could be used to extend or enhance that, and then and only then decide upon which technology you think would be relevant to you and which one you want to use. For me, this is much more about finding the ways to make mobile fit in into the marketing mix, rather than try and shoehorn in the technology starting with I want to have Bluetooth or I want to have an app.
And I think, to follow that, Paul, one of the things from Bizarre Voice perspective, we see a lot of people using responsive. Some sites are being designed responsively. Other ones, people are looking and say, I don't have the budget right now to go redesign my site, but I want to take advantage of, some elements as people are coming in over mobile devices and other. Can you guys help me from submission forms and other things? And so what we did, we built the conversations platform is all built out of responsive elements so that even if your site in and of itself isn't responsive, but your submission form, someone's accessing that submission form via a mobile device, that form is responsive in nature, and that gives you essentially a hybrid site, one that's maybe not necessarily responsive across the board, but in certain key aspects, it is responsive, especially in elements where, like Paul said, you're really thinking about the consumer, how they're interacting, whether to grab content or submit content, and looking for those elements that you can make responsive before you make decisions to go to an end-to-end responsive site, an M site, et cetera, because you're always going to see a blend of different technologies.
Okay. Next question here is, do either of you have a recommendation, or maybe you both do, in pursuing something such as Passbook or an individual apps for coupon passing on mobile devices? Any thoughts on that?
As a business, we tend not to make individual recommendations for companies, so I wouldn't name a single company and say yes, that's the route to go and do it. But Passbook has had some success already. I mean, there's big adoption of Passbook and amongst airlines, for instance, in the travel industry. I have yet to see huge success within the retail world, though, for something like Passbook. But then the alternative of looking at, do barcodes work within apps for, presumably you're thinking about it here for either purchase or for loyalty schemes. Again, to kind of reiterate the point of earlier, look no further than the Starbucks example to see that, integrating some kind of barcode that can be read by a scanner can clearly work for both purchase and for delivering loyalty.
Okay. Another question here in regards to consumer reviews, customer reviews. The attendee says that they understand consumer reviews being readily available and valuable for in-store purchases, but their question is, has the success or failure been seen by providing comparable products from other brands at the point of sale?
I think on that one, what you're going to want to look at, again, is the consumer that you have. And in some instances, trying to show too much information at point of sale can actually overwhelm. In other instances, it makes perfect sense to line up, because oftentimes if people are reading ratings and reviews, they're doing it for one of two reasons. They're doing it to compare across different products by other brands, or they're digging in on specific things to find out more targeted information on, is this particular product going to work for me? So in that second case, they're much further down the purchase funnel. They've made a decision in large part, but they're trying to tie off a few gaps. At other times, when people are still in that comparison phase, then yes, there can definitely be some success in providing essentially comparison at point of sale. We've seen many of our customers that will basically do kind of a product selector, if you will, where you can select multiple products and then look at the ratings and reviews and the things across them. What are the star ratings? What are the various different elements? What are people looking at between them and comparing between them? So, I think you want to look at your consumer, try to understand, are they doing more researching via mobile devices and leveraging that word of mouth? Are they doing more purchases? And then make your choice from there. But we've seen both success and failure in there, and you're just going to need to do a little bit of testing.
Okay. Well, looks like we're just about out of time for today's webinar. I want to take this opportunity on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Bizarre Voice to thank all of you for attending today's webinar. Also want to thank Neville and Paul again, And lastly, be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. With that, thanks, everyone, and I hope to see you again at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Thank you.